You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to another session of Ask a Black Doctor. I'm DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you doing this week, sir?
Man, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am doing really, really well. I know I'm late for anyone that's been a loyal listener. They've been talking about boosters all this time. Dr. Evans told Ambush to get booster and flu shot like four episodes ago. But I finally got my booster. My hesitation, and I'm sure some of you may be able to relate to, was like actually scheduling the booster with my life, because I was preparing myself to be down for a couple of days after, you know, getting boosted. I didn't have any reactions to the first or second shot, but a lot of my friends and colleagues were saying the booster shot, the third shot, definitely put them down for a day, or at least an afternoon, day and a half. But so far, so good. I don't have any reactions, just, you know, a little bit of pain at the injection site. I do want to give a huge shout out to the healthcare workers, the healthcare providers at Tektronic out in Beaverton. It was just so quick, so efficient, in and out of there. It was absolutely amazing. I want to shout out my music coordinator, Britton, for giving me the heads up on heading to that location. And the whole family went. Unfortunately, my two daughters won't be eligible until the end of the month, until the 28th. So we'll just take them back out there. But it was really, 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 really nice. And I met I was greeted by a lot of Black healthcare workers. Like,
awesome.
Overabundance that I'm used to seeing here in Portland. And so I mentioned that to one of the nurses, and she said, yes, a lot of us basically traveled. So I would think I was completely unaware of that aspect and that was actually happening. They said they're able to pick which state they can come to, but not the city. But there were just a lot of Black women in the facility getting the job done. So shout out to the crew over at Tektronic.
Wait, so were they from out of state?
Yeah, they were all from out of state.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really, really dope.
Man. Yeah, it's you know, we can use all the help we can get, right? Whatever FEMA can send us, we'll use. And it's the Peace Corps and AmeriCorps, and I think the Peace Corps folks are not able to go abroad right now. So,
okay.
You know, with FEMA and the Peace Corps and AmeriCorps, the Peace Corps volunteers haven't been able to go outside the country, haven't been able to go abroad like they usually do. So they've been sent to states. And we actually had some Peace Corps volunteers come to Oregon to come and help out with the pandemic, which is really neat.
Yeah, that's dope. So this week, we're talking about keeping safe during Omicron. I can't imagine there's going to be too much of a difference, with the exception of, you know, taking an additional measures of trying to secure some KN95 masks.
Yeah. So that was the change that the CDC made, right? They're now recommending N95s and KN95s. KN95 is just a nomenclature, meaning that it's an N95 that's made in China.
Gotcha. Okay. But
it's the same as an N95. It's supposed to be the same as an N95. And we have an organization here in Oregon, not just in Oregon, but in the US, right, that called NIOSH, that evaluates these to make sure that they're the same as what we produce here in the US. And for the most part, they are the same. Make sure that they're NIOSH approved to be used as N95s.
Yeah, I did see somewhere that there were some counterfeit masks floating around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been going on since the beginning of the pandemic. When people started counterfeiting not just masks, but all sorts of PPE, right?
Oh my goodness.
Like everybody's trying to make a quick buck, which is quite unfortunate because you're putting people's lives at risk, right?
Yeah.
And that should be a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Counterfeit masks, PPE, counterfeit vaccination cards.
Oh man.
Before we started recording, we were talking about people making money just spreading misinformation.
Yeah.
Who could imagine? Who could imagine? You go to school for all these years, you put in your time, and you turn around, and everyone on the internet is a medical expert.
Oh yeah, Dr. Google, man, Dr. Google.
That's a tough fight. That's a tough fight. So, getting back into it, if a person's feeling unwell, at what point should they get tested for COVID? Because we know the hospitals are overrun right now. There aren't a lot of resources. Tests are hard to come by, just as hard to come by as masks. So with the symptoms being, you know, such a wide array of things that could or couldn't be COVID, at what point should someone get tested for COVID?
You know, I think the main thing right now is if you're experiencing any symptoms that could be COVID-19, you should get tested.
Okay.
Period. Regardless of your vaccination status, right? So early on at the beginning of the year, I had a sore throat and I scheduled an appointment at Kaiser, got my PCR test and it was negative. So it was just that awareness that, you know, as a clinician, as a physician, where I'm going to be seeing patients, where I'm going to be talking to people, going to be in public, even at work, right? I need to make sure that I don't have COVID-19. So that's why you need to get tested. That's why I got tested. That's why everybody needs to get tested. So if you have any symptoms that look like COVID-19, that you suspect could be COVID-19, or you've been exposed, get tested. That's the surest way to make sure that you don't have it and that you're not spreading it. But of course, in the meantime, you should still be wearing, you know, a mask like we've been, like right. We're just talking about, you know, KN95s, N95s. They're now widely available. Make sure you can reuse them. It's the N95s or the KN95s. It's not like you just use it once and you throw it away. You can actually put it aside, let it sit out, air out for about 12 to 24 hours, and then you can put it on again, as long as it's not dirty, right?
Excellent. I don't think a lot of people knew that, and that's some good information right there. I think I saw some efforts from the federal government to get some free masks out to homes, as well as tests.
Yeah.
So while we're still talking about tests, what's the difference between an at-home antigen COVID test versus getting a PCR test at a facility? And is one more accurate than the other?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. So PCR is kind of like the gold standard, right? It's a polymerase chain reaction, and it amplifies the genetic material that's found in the virus. So yeah. If you have a little bit of the virus, it will amplify it, and boom, it'll show it's significantly more accurate than the antigen. The antigen test is very, very good at picking up people who have symptoms. So it looks to see if you're shedding material from the virus, and that's what it tests for. It's an excellent test, especially in people who have symptoms, and it's significantly cheaper, right? And not only that, you can also use it by yourself at home. You don't need to be an expert at doing this.
Right.
You could teach. So a lot of schools right now, K through 12 schools, have this testing program that they have through OHSU and through OHA, where they are being sent home with at-home tests and swabbing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fifth grader. He's now an expert at doing it. Every Sunday, he's doing his test and putting it in the right kit and takes it to school Monday morning.
Wow!
So if a fifth grader can do it, I'm pretty sure the vast majority of people can do it.
Does the PCR test, is that able to tell physicians the strain of COVID that we have?
Yes, so the antigen tests we don't do any sequencing, meaning that we don't look to see which variant you have. With the PCR, yes, because it's sent to the lab, they can take a look and see which variant you have, and that's how we know that. That's how we know that the primary variant right now is Omicron. It's from those PCR tests that we sequence the genetic material and say, oh yeah, this is Omicron. It's not Delta, it's not Alpha, it's not the original type, it's Omicron.
In the situation where someone feels as though they may have been exposed, how soon should they get tested? Should they just immediately get the test, or should they wait until possibly they see some symptoms again because the tests are, kind of scarce right now?
That's a very good question, right? So it speaks to how soon does the virus take hold in your system, and how soon like you said, how soon should you get tested? So typically, the best time to get tested is between 3 to 5 days after exposure. That is the best time to get tested, and typically, if you're negative in those 3 to 5 days, you probably don't have it.
So, as contagious as this particular strain is, how is it? Like, what exactly is happening where someone is exposed, they test negative 3 to 5 days afterwards? Is it like what are the factors that could cause someone to be exposed and not contract it? I'm sure the vaccine is it plays a factor. A lot of us are still in the process of getting their booster. But like, yeah, what are some of the things that could, because it really does sound like, and I believe I can't remember which person this was part of the president's administration, someone in the health department, made it basically seem as though it's inevitable at some point everyone's just gonna get COVID.
I think that was Fauci. Fauci said, hey, it's gonna get everybody. That was Dr. Fauci. He said it's going to get everybody, and more than likely it's going to get the vast majority of people, right? The current projections say that we expect 40 to 60% of folks to be infected at some point. In Europe, they're already saying they expect about 60% of folks to be exposed within the next 2 months. So, yeah, that's how quickly this thing is spreading, right? Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine, a physician friend of mine. Him and his wife are both physicians, and everybody in the family got Omicron at the beginning of the year. So it's a family of five, right? Two parents, three
Three
kids,
children.
and except for one kid. So everybody, and they were around each other the whole time, and just one
Interesting.
kid, and no symptoms. And was negative two or three times. The two kids were completely asymptomatic, the ones that had it. The parents, of course, were not. They had very mild symptoms, but they were not as asymptomatic as the kids. So, exposure. What is exposure? Exposure just means that. So you can get it even if you're. So, true exposure is 15 minutes. Being around someone who has it, who's positive, for 15 minutes over a 24-hour period, and there's less than 6 feet distancing without protection, right? So, however, you can still get it even if you've been around that person just even 1 minute, right? It just means that they were shedding a lot of virus for you to get it in such a short period of time. So any meaningful contact with somebody who has it can lead to you getting it.
So in a situation like with that family you just described, the two parents, they had mild cases. One of the children received didn't even contract it, and the other two were asymptomatic. So you told me before about the way the mutations work and the replication process, and as it travels from person to person, the virus keeps mutating. Does the vaccine have an effect on the strength of the virus after the mutation.
You mean does so the vaccines are very good. So if you're if you have had your two your primary series and then a booster, your chances of getting COVID-19 are significantly reduced. Mm-hmm. And if you were to get COVID-19, your symptoms are going to be more than likely are going to be very, very mild.
So from having those mild symptoms, whatever you spread, does that inherently make that strain that you're spreading stronger? Is that what happens?
Well, so it reduces your likelihood of spreading it.
Okay.
Your likelihood of spreading it by others. But you should still, if you test positive, whether or not you you have received your third dose, your booster dose, you should still quarantine. You should isolate. That's the right term. Because quarantine means that you've been exposed, and isolate is for people who are positive. Gotcha. So you should still isolate in that event.
Okay. So we're talking about possibly 40 to 60% of the population
getting it,
contracting it. Does this lead us back to the conversation that I believe was way too early to have? herd immunity is that situation now that could possibly, you know, it's viable to talk about now?
Well, that's what everybody's talking about now, right? Everybody wants to know, hey, are we going to reach herd immunity from this? I think so. The short answer is it's unfortunate, but yeah, with a whole lot more people getting it, the virus won't have anywhere else to go. I don't like to think of it in terms of herd immunity because there are lives at stake that are associated with people getting it. We have over 800,000 people who have died from this since this pandemic started. That's just, to me, that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Especially given that this is something that's entirely preventable. Entirely preventable. Yeah. I mean, at least the deaths and the severe illnesses. If people do the right thing, we will have less people being infected and, of course, less people dying from it.
Right. Yeah. So if you've tested positive for COVID and it's run its course, how soon should you get tested again? Is it like, what's the likelihood of you contracting it, you know, soon thereafter?
So there's this new term that everybody's talking about, which is super immunized, folks, meaning that you've had your three shots, I mean your triple boosted, or I'll say it differently, you've had your primary series and then you got your booster and then you get COVID-19 on top of that, the Omicron variant, I'm assuming. Those people are considered super immune, and chances of you getting it again are very, 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 very small, if not close to zero.
Okay.
Do you need to get tested again? You should not get tested. You should wait at least 90 days before you get tested again, even in the setting of an exposure.
Okay. Yeah. And waiting that 90 days, is that because possibly what you would test positive for would be a new variant?
No, it's that you if you were to test positive again, it could be the infection that you had.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it doesn't make sense to get tested again.
Okay.
It's actually a waste of resources to get tested again.
Got you. So, for someone who is, what'd you say, triple boosted, I'm laughing at that term because there was an anecdote earlier about someone saying that they were triple vaccinated and still got the still contracted COVID. So for our listeners, there's no such thing as triple vaccinations. It's just being caught up. That's it. You're just being caught up on your vaccinations. You're not getting multiple layers of protection that stack up that make it harder for you to contract. It's just you being up to date with your vaccinations. Oh, man. It's I mean, it's been an interesting conversation thus far, for these
You
couple of
know,
years.
I did an event this past weekend with the African Family Holistic Health Organization, AFHO, here in Portland. But they had, I think it's a Portland branch of AFHO, because they had people from outside the state. And I was very impressed by the number of people that showed up. It was over 100 people that showed up for this event.
Nice.
And the questions, still very much the same questions that we've been getting. I think when we were talking before we came on air, you mentioned that, hey, maybe for those people, it's the first time that they're hearing the information. So it's good questions are still coming up. It's good that people are still showing up. I mean, getting over 100 folks at an event this far out in the pandemic, people who want to hear more about COVID-19, shows you that there is a lot of one, misinformation, disinformation, and also that people are still engaged. People still want to hear these things.
It is important that we have the most information possible and have some really informed discussions. Because while there is a lot of misinformation, disinformation happening, it's a hot topic. Health, our health and just, making sure we stay on top of this is what everyone is talking about right now. So it's really a key opportunity to provide people with the avenues for getting the right data. If they weren't paying attention before, if you were talking about cancer, if you're talking about diabetes, Omicron, the COVID-19 virus has everyone's attention. So I think this is an excellent opportunity to not just talk about that, but any other things that we need to be staying on top of, like integrating the flu vaccine into the conversation. This is a vaccine everyone's already familiar with. So yes, if you haven't gotten your flu vaccine, Ambush, get your flu vaccine. Get it done. Do not be scared. There's no reason. Go get your flu vaccine.
Don't be afraid. Don't
Right.
be afraid. Get your flu vaccine.
If you have not seen your physician and you're a diabetic or you're dealing with high cholesterol or any of these issues, make all of this a reason. Everything we're experiencing right now, a reason to just check in. Just check in. So, what are critical care? Oh, you got something?
I was going to say that this takes us back to the conversation we had last week with Dr. Sundaram about trusting science and getting the right information and making sure that you're engaging, because people are beginning to tune out. That's the honest truth, right? And that's why I was saying that I was very impressed by the number of people who showed up at this event this past weekend. But it's very, very important, just to echo what DJ Ambush just said. Hey, get the correct information. Talk to people. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your primary care provider. Listen to Dr. Fauci. Go on the CDC website, OHA website, and get information that's accurate.
Yeah, it's readily available. And we always have additional information in the description of our episodes. So you can go back to past episodes, look at those topics, and grab the information relevant to those topics. What are critical care guidelines, and what does that mean during Omicron?
Well, so these are recommendations that are put out to make sure that our health system doesn't collapse. So just it's like we're talking about earlier that you don't need to go to the ER to get your COVID test. Now there's actually this will be posted on the website. There is the federal government is sending out tests to folks for free. So make sure you sign up. I was just talking to my partner who works for the CDC earlier, and she was telling me that, hey, this idea of having people opt in, having people sign up to get these get these at home tests, is not a good idea, because what if you don't have access to a computer, or what if you don't have access to a phone? Because they have, a website that you can go and sign up, or they have a phone number that you can call. How about we do simple stuff, right? Simple stuff like just mail it out to folks that don't have access. We know what zip codes have been missed, right? We know which individuals have been left out during this pandemic.
Right.
Send tests to those folks, because we know who they are, right? This has been done before, and credit to Dr. Bonner for sharing this with me. This idea that when we needed to send money, the checks that were sent on at the beginning of the pandemic,
right,
with Trump's signature on it,
right,
they were able to find folks, right? They were able to send to all those folks and say, oh yeah, here's your stimulus money. If they're able to do that, why can't they do the same thing with these at-home tests? We know what zip codes have bore the brunt of this disease. So send those tests to those zip codes
that have accepted
the most.
That is an excellent observation.
If we wait for people to say, oh yeah, I need a test, we're missing folks.
Yeah. And then for those people who may not have internet access or access to a phone, they are dealing with organizations that are providing them services.
So
send loads of tests to those organizations that are working with those populations to make sure they have access to tests readily. Yeah.
Hey, so I am hoping that somebody with the power to make this happen is listening to DJ Ambush right now, because that is an excellent idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all these community-based organizations, all these CBOs. Send the tests to those organizations. They know who they serve. They know the community.
Right.
And let them distribute those tests to those that need them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an excellent idea right there. I'm signing up DJ Ambush for a job.
Count me in. That'll be it. Before we close out, I do want to make you guys aware of the vaccine events that are available this coming week. So Saturday, January 22nd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Rosewood Initiative. Tuesday, January 25th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Highland Haven. And then next Tuesday and Thursday, the 25th and the 27th at Lloyd Center. Tuesday from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. and then Thursday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, this information will be in the description for this episode, so please copy it, share it. If there's anyone that needs additional information, make sure you comment anywhere you see any advertisements for this. And you can also go to the website and go ahead and ask Dr. Bukosi Dubé some answers. Ask him some questions right there that we can answer in the following episode. Thanks again, Doc. Thank you for keeping up the work. Thank you for keeping us informed. And appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you too, my man.
All right. We'll catch you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.